This podcast was specifically created for distress and crisis Ontario organizations and their volunteer responders to provide training and educational assistance on a variety of topics. As information evolves and changes, these podcasts are meant to offer ongoing support with the goal of updating them on an ongoing basis. We thank the volunteer responders and the contributors to this podcast. Please visit our website, dcontario.org, for more information and how to access free mental health services. Thank you.
I'm Trent Dundas, an employee with Distress and Crisis Ontario. As a brand, DCO is a resource that can provide support directly with an individual who is going through distress, but as well with continued support through a variety of services through our partners. Our partners are community members, organizations, who with our help can guide and support any individual going through a tough time. During this time of uncertainty, stress or anxiety can be spiked. So we are putting together a small segment to interview resources in the public who can talk about their experiences as well as strategies in dealing with their situation. As much as you may feel you are alone with your thoughts, there are many people who are also feeling this way. So let's connect ourselves and hear other stories and keep the conversation going. Today on this podcast, I have my friend Andrew Matthews, an ex-pro snowboarder who represented Canada in 3 World Cups, the FIS World Snowboard Championships, and is currently living in BC, who is here to talk about his life experiences with mental health and his research on the matter to find better ways in managing this with a variety of techniques, but also how this world crisis has been affecting him. So hello, Andrew. Would you like to tell us a bit more about yourself?
Hi, Trent. Yeah, sure. Thanks for having me. So as you said, I was a professional freestyle snowboarder for many years. And found myself after my career in a bit of rough shape, as you can imagine, from the amount of injuries one sustains from jumps gone wrong over the years and stuff. So for me, that resulted in several concussions. And the last one was actually ended up in a minor traumatic brain injury. So it shifted things around for me in my brain and made things a lot more challenging to cope with, manage, and deal with things that a normal person would have no problem with. So from there, things, mentally got a little bit more challenging, like dealing with stress, for instance, and dealing with pressure of time. So those things are just a couple examples of some of the difficulties that all of a sudden started to become these big issues that in the past had been non-issues for me. So that kind of led me down a road to start to get curious about what the heck anxiety is, for instance, where it comes from, how to manage it, and start to practice techniques like yoga, like meditation, mindfulness, things like that to try to help myself to improve my mental health and get a handle on what's going on so that I can get back to living a life that's more how I want to be living.
So where and what kind of resources, if you want to get into that a little bit more, have you found? Have you found that it worked for you personally?
Sure, yeah. So for me, as I said, one of the big ones was really diving into understanding what's going on. So I took a course on, it was called Rewiring the Nervous System by Eileen Lyon, and it was an online course, and it really helped me to understand the role of trauma that plays in the body and can affect the body and the mental and physical health. And from there, I kind of branched off and learned about neuroplasticity and how the brain can rewire itself. So if we're getting, for instance, if we're getting used to being in stressful situations all the time, the brain adapts to that to be more used to being in stressful situations. And on the other side, if we're training the brain to be more in relaxing situations, you can learn to be in more relaxing situations and the brain be more comfortable in those kinds of situations. So as far as resources go, reading a lot of books, doing that course online. Yeah, I've reached out here to the Head Injury Society in my local community, and they have some resources as well, like taking like mindfulness training. Peer support has also been a big resource for me, so connecting with other people that are going through similar things, that has been a really huge part of my recovery, because a lot of times when you're going through a healing crisis like that, it's really hard to relate to people that aren't going through something and for them to relate to you more specifically. So when you can have a conversation with someone that can understand you on a different level and have compassion or empathy for what you're going through, it really, really helps. So I'm really excited about the resources that you guys are helping out with other people, and I really encourage other people that are going through mental health issues to reach out and use these resources.
No, that's great. So what are some things that you do when you are feeling these high levels of anxiety or stress, and what can you do at that time to kind of just relax those and try and lower those levels?
Yeah, great question. Especially recently with all the shifts going on, I noticed, you know, sometimes my anxiety spikes and I get feeling too anxious. So to bring that down, doing body-centered meditation is a really big one for me. So doing something like a body scan meditation or somatic movement is my new favorite thing to do. So these are just really gentle meditations where you really focus on the feeling inside the body. And that really helps me to get out of my head and out of mental loops of worry and anxiety and kind of come back to the calm and presence of and the safety of being in the present moment. So when I do feel like, oh man, my anxiety's pretty high today, I'll do some more of those kinds of things to take care of myself. And just kind of, you know, I think especially now, like with so much going on, it's important to take extra care of yourself. So for me, especially like the first week when all the shifts happened, I lost some of my jobs as a yoga teacher, and I realized it was really important for me to take time to actually educate myself on what's going on and make that a priority rather than my other priorities, which involve currently like studying economics that I'm doing in university. So I think that's a big thing too, of kind of giving yourself permission to do what you need to do in the moment, taking care of your mental health and physical health as a priority is really important when things get ramped up.
So again, with the current world affairs that are going on, how has this shifted your mental illness and how does it change your lifestyle in your everyday process?
I wouldn't say it's shifted my mental illness necessarily, but I like to look at it like as someone who, quote unquote, has anxiety. Some days my mental health is flourishing and some days it's floundering. And so when external events and stressors like this come up and I start to wonder how I'm going to make rent or pay my mortgage or whatever, let me just collect my thoughts for a sec.
So it,
can you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, just on, like, with the current shift towards, I'm sure everyone is feeling some spike in anxiety or being unsure of what the future is, and this can cause a bit of, obviously, a spike, like I said, on the anxiety. So how are ways that you are changing your daily lifestyle to deal with this spiked levels of anxiety? Is it more meditation? Is it being more just aware of how you are feeling, more research into what's going on? What are some strategies that just help you kind of relax that, I guess?
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, the big thing that I'm experiencing, and I'm sure a lot of people are, is changing their daily routine from what was happening before the pandemic outbreak and what's happening now. So for me, like, to change my routine and come up with a new routine that works for staying at home is really important. So scheduling my day with when I'm working and getting in a physical location to set boundaries around when I'm working and when I'm not working has been really important for my mental health. The other thing that's been really important is to continue to connect with people. So as much as we are being asked to physically isolate ourselves to limit the spread of the coronavirus, it's really important for me to continue to connect and have fun with people and call people. So I've been adapting to this new change and new way of life for the time being by connecting with people on Skype, on Zoom, on FaceTime, those types of things, getting together, creating times for friends to meet and stuff, and it's given me the chance to connect with people that I wouldn't have connected with normally because they're not in my immediate vicinity or even in the same country as me, for instance. So kind of just rolling with the punches and making the best of the situation. That's been pretty key for me to adapt to the changes that are going on.
So I know one thing you and I have talked about that you've kind of been recently experimenting with is something called laughing yoga. So do you mind going into a little bit of more detail on that and the positive outcomes that you've seen or hope to get from this?
Sure, yeah. So laughing yoga is something, it's a practice that I got into when I was at university. Not really got into, I mean, I experienced it for the first time when I was there. And it's just so much fun because you are totally given permission to bring out your silly, bring out your child self, and laugh like you've never laughed before. So getting a group together doing this, connecting with each other, laughing, being silly, can be so much fun. And it's something that we don't tend to get the opportunity to do as much as, you know, kids get to do that all the time. So it's really cool as an adult to have, you know, an opportunity to do that. So I've been inspired to take a training for laughter yoga so that I can offer this to other people. And part of it is just practicing basically being in a joyful state on purpose. So not waiting for all of the things externally to line up so that I can feel happy. It's being happy first, being joyful first, and then that the other things may line up or they may not. So instead of waiting for all these circumstances to happen, we just get together and get some friends together and practice laughter, practice some different exercises, and they incorporate deep breathing as well. So hence the yoga term in that as well, with the laughter yoga. So it's a combination of laughter exercises, kind of like improv exercises where you're acting things out, and deep breathing, and then relaxation. So that's kind of the main thing. So at this time, I've kind of been inspired to reach out to other people to offer laughter yoga on the internet, of course, at this point, to kind of help bring some joy to other people and connection. So that's been a really positive outcome of the current change of things as well for me, to offer that. And yeah, it's something that I'm excited to continue to share. And the people that have been involved have said that it's been a lot of fun too. So excited to see where it goes.
No, that's great. Is there anything else you want to tell our listeners, or anything else to talk about the coronavirus and dealing with that?
I think as someone who's gone through a lot of challenges with my mental health and feels like I've kind of come through the worst of it, I would just like to say to anybody that's out there that's going through things or having maybe having challenges, that it's really important to reach out to people, like especially to the resources that are available, to get help, and like let go of any stigma or shame or anything around that. Like it's such a natural thing that so many people go through, and the more that we talk about it and get things out there, the less that we kind of feel like crazy or there's something wrong with me because I'm feeling this way. I think we're in a new time when people are starting to realize that, so I just want to bring that out more and more, that the more that we can hear about stories like this, the more that it becomes normalized and we realize that it's part of the human experience to experience stress, to go through ups and downs, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. So don't feel bad or don't feel ashamed that at some point you need to reach out for some support.
Well, thank you, Andrew. I'm hoping many people can find your story inspiring. Your story is inspiring in the sense that you've really taken your mental illness with open arms and dealing with it to try and find ways to help yourself. This is not always easy for people to do, but there are, as you've talked about, many resources that you can do that other people are willing to give. So thank you for taking the time to talk with us and to giving our listeners more information. We hope this conversation can help anyone going through a stressful time and can use this as a resource. So thank you, Andrew.
Thanks a lot, Trent. My pleasure.
Hi, I'm Damien, one of the editors of the DCO Learning Forums podcast. Over the past year, we've been busy converting our Learning Forums series of videos into podcasts and thinking of new ways to continue delivering new and more in-depth content. We've seen the demand, and we're announcing our move to Pinecast and our new tip jar function. Please consider going to tips.pinecast.com/jar/distress and crisis Ontario and donating. And in return, we'll be recording new follow-up episodes on some of our most popular topics. These will be accessible for tippers only and will help pay for travel, web hosting, etc. For the interim, you'll still be able to access existing content on both the Pinecast and Fireside feeds for free, but eventually we'll be making the switch to Pinecast. Thank you for your understanding.